Welcome to Agathos Church. We're a non-denominational Christian church where the Bible comes alive. As commissioned believers, we operate in Christ's authority to preach the gospel everywhere. You can say it with me. Disciple nations, cast out demons, prophesy destiny, and speak with new tongues. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, protected from harm, and we lay hands on the sick who then recover. Guys, these aren't theory to us. We experience all of them. Isn't that awesome? Okay, Daniel has a testimony today. We had two testimonies today, but one person couldn't make it. I can't wait for you to hear that one. This one is outstanding too. So Daniel has a testimony, then we're going to do something.
So the other day, we went to the Kaufman's for dinner, and Noah came home from soccer practice, and he's like, oh man, my foot's hurting. And I told Sebastian, like, hey, go pray for Noah's foot. Sebastian's 3. So I told Sebastian, hey, go pray for Noah's foot real quick, like that it'll be healed. And he's like, okay. So he went over and he said, Jesus, all pain be gone in Jesus' name. And then he walked away and Noah was like, oh my God, my foot feels so much better. Like it's healed and still better today. Yeah? Nice.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Guys, it's illegal to have a testimony like that and then not act on it. Kiddos, come here. All the kids, we already talked. Come on up. Come on. Good job. Right here. Okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to stand up if you have any physical ailment that's in need of prayer, and these kids are going to come lay hands on you and see you healed. Go. Guys, find whoever's standing up, kiddos, go get a couple kids around each kid and do like I told you. Do like you learned in children's church today. Lay hands on them and tell the sickness to go in Jesus' name. Tell the pain to go in Jesus' name. Okay. Good job, guys. Remember, kids, you are the boss of all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Go, kids, go. Find someone else that's still standing. After you've received prayer, you can sit. Okay. Is Deborah all right? Okay. Nemo, come up here, buddy. We've got some testimonies, I think. Yeah? Come on up. Guys, this is called live Christianity.
I woke up and, you know, I'm always trying to not speak that I have something going on, right? I'm always trying to, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm in the shower. I'm like, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Him and Eliana prayed for my throat, and it actually feels better instantly. Like after they're done praying, I'm like, I hadn't swallowed or anything yet. And I, like, swallowed, and I'm like, sweet! Praise Jesus.
Okay, so we have a throat healed. Any other testimonies?
When this young man right here came and prayed right here, I felt the fire of God right here, and the pain's leaving.
Mm-hmm. And turquoise here? Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Blake, amen. Okay. Any other testimonies? Yeah, please.
Oh, Nemo didn't. Where is he? Little sweetie. Honey, he didn't even really know what to say, but his heart was there. His spirit was so there. And I just said the words, just something very simple like, Lord, all pain be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. And he just repeated it. But his spirit was there, and it was.
You have power.
And Nemo, can you tell everyone what happened a couple weeks ago when you got impartation prayer? Do you remember what happened? Can I share? Is that right? Okay, so a couple weeks ago, Nemo got impartation prayer, and I heard some different testimonies from kids. But one of the things that I heard, or one of the things, Nemo got slain in the spirit. And then he just prayed for someone back there who got slain in the spirit when he prayed for them. And Nemo, how old are you?
7.
Okay. Amen. See, Good job, buddy. Here's the thing. People don't get slain in the spirit. The power of God does, again, never goal of slain in the spirit, but the power of God that's causing that is what we're after, because the power heals things, the power sets free. Okay? What I'm saying is, it's not me when I pray for people and the power of God's released. Remember last time we had testimonies about how Ryan and Amber had received impartation and then what's been happening in their life? Last week, kids received impartation as well, and what just happened? The kids are doing the work of ministry. Guys, here's what. I'm going to have them give you guys a round of applause, but not yet, because I want to make something very clear. You have the power of God on the inside of you. And so when they give you a round of applause, they're not giving you applause for having power. They're giving you applause for releasing it, for giving it to someone else, for praying. Okay, so give them a round of applause for praying. Good job, guys. Good job. High fives. Well, that's our children's church. Come on. They'll be here all day. If you'd like to receive prayer afterwards, I am convinced the line will be longer by them than by me, and I hope so. You know, one time I was at a conference, and I went up to receive prayer from Chris Valadin, a real famous prophet. Waited in line for 30 minutes. Then I was second. I was like next up. And they decided the line was too long. And so they sent me to his students. I was disappointed. This is like 6-7 years ago. I understand some things now. You know what happened? Oh my gosh, man, those guys prayed with fire. His students for me. I had fire in my throat. And then they later that night gave me a spot on prophetic word. They read my mail in front of everybody. In front of 500 people, it was awesome. Those guys were super anointed. Let me tell you a secret. The kingdom of God works through authority. I'm going to just pray because the sermon just started. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the testimonies. And Holy Spirit, move now. Say what you want to say. Amen. Get ready, guys. It's going to be good. I've been having this thing where the Lord's been providing commentary. I hear the Spirit of the Lord speak commentary when I speak sometimes. And I've been praying for more of it. It's really fascinating. And when I just said it's going to be good, I literally heard the commentary of the Lord. Yeah, it is. Seriously. This is happening constantly. I'll talk to someone and say, hey, can I tell you something that the Lord spoke to me? And the Lord will answer for, like, before they even answer, the Lord will say, go for it. Last week, do you remember I told you guys that I was only going to be the one that prayed impartation yesterday and that I had grappled with that just because of time, if nothing else, and because I'm an equipper. I want you guys to be the ones that are equipped, right? And so, but I felt like the Lord kept telling me, only you, only you, only you, okay? And right as I was about to explain to you that it was only going to be me, as soon as I went into that, like, sentence, I hear the voice of the Lord clearly say, only you. I was going to tell you only you. It's just like he double, triple confirmed it, only you. Now, guys, here's what's amazing. You guys got the impartation last time. By the way, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago to receive impartation, you can get it today after service. Multiple people sought me out in between saying, I've got to get it. And I said, amen, I love the hunger. So you can receive it after service. And but what I'm telling you, I don't know what I'm telling you. Holy Spirit, help me. What I'm telling you is that you guys have received it, and look what's happening. Look what's happening. Look what's happening. Look what's happening. Amen. That's good. Well, some lives are going to be changed today. Mine has been. You guys ready? Title of the sermon is, What I Have, I Give to You. What I have, I give to you. We're in a series called The Gift of God Within You. We're in a series called The Gift of God Within You. Our main scripture for the series, I think it's a short series, I don't know. I've gotten a little leery of telling you how long I think is what's going to happen in a sermon series, because then I get closer to the day of preaching and the Lord does something else. And then I'm like, I put my word out there on that, you know. So I think it's a shorter sermon series through the end of the year, but we'll see. But the series is titled The Gift of God That's Within You. If you remember, about a month ago, I had the 12th and last sermon for valuing what God values, and God hijacked the end of my series. And he had spoken to me the day before and said, don't allow your sermon plan, your teaching plan, to get in the way of my move. And then I asked him that day, that Saturday, I mean, it was a beautiful sermon. I can't wait to give it to you guys. I asked him that Saturday, I said, do you want me to teach this sermon tomorrow? He said, no. I didn't know what to do with it. And so I was like, okay. Well, anyway, he hijacked, and if you remember, some people were getting set free, the power of God was flowing, and then I gave kind of a funny little sermonette where I was saying, we got to catch people now, right? That was the funny part of it. But the more serious part of it is talking about 2 Timothy 1:7. So that's a main scripture for us in this series. And it says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit, and it's of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay? And what I talked about there is I said the Holy Spirit, you know, fear is a spirit, and it's not welcome here. Now, if you got fear, you're welcome here. But I'm telling you, the fear in you is not welcome here. I want to see people have freedom, power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. The Spirit of God produces power in you, it produces love in you, and it produces a sound mind. Who's with me? Come on. Remember, you don't need a certification card to say amen during a sermon. The more you draw on me, the more that'll come out. What I'm telling you is that power, we're going to dive a little deeper into the power part today. Love, I told you, is the safety belt of all ministry. If you've got power but you don't have love, you've got a problem. 1 Corinthians 13, turn with me there. 1 Corinthians 13. The Corinthians basically had that problem. If you kind of want to just like see what's power without love look like, just turn to 1 Corinthians. They had so much power that they needed explicit directions about how to handle interpretation of tongues during main services. Like they had so many tongues going during main service. By the way, you know why I have in our declaration that we speak in new tongues? Because it's in Mark 16 as part of the Great Commission. That's the reason. The second reason is, it might seem odd because the rest of the things up there are more outwardly focused. But the second reason is, I want you to know that that's something that we do here. We speak in tongues. There's a lot of confusion around 1 Corinthians 13 because people say, I thought you can't speak in tongues in service. But Paul, here's what Paul says about speaking in tongues. He says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all you all. He desires that all of you would speak in tongues. And then he goes so far as to say, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, you might say, yeah, I'm not forbidding you doing it at home. But here's the thing, how could you ever forbid someone from doing it at home anyway? You can't forbid someone from speaking in tongues in a dark forest with no one around them. He's talking about in public service. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. He's just saying that when it's time for me to get up here and teach, to instruct, it would be silly for me to speak in Spanish for 45 minutes. If only two people understood. Now, I could speak in Spanish for 45 minutes if Brad got up here and translated for everyone. And that's what he's saying. Don't get up and hold the microphone and dominate the service with tongues incessantly if there's no interpretation for the tongue, or else it won't be instructive. But you can even sing in tongues. Paul says, I both speak in my prayer language. He speaks in the Spirit and he sings in the Spirit. It's about verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 14. And so you can sing in the Spirit as well. And you might say, well, why would we sing in the Spirit from the front? Wouldn't that dominate things? Not really. Now, if instead of doing songs, Derek and Aaron just sang in the Spirit the entire time, then it'd be very difficult for anybody to follow their lead. So that wouldn't be helpful. But for a minute between two songs or something like that, if we're all singing in the Spirit, that's fine. That's what's supposed to be happening right then. Everybody's clear that either sing in the Spirit or sing a new song, sing what you want to sing to the Lord. And it's not confusion. It's not disorder. There wasn't a need for that to be instructive at that time. Does that make sense? Just a little teaching. You see, the body of Christ is so concerned with excess that they miss God. We're more concerned with someone saying that we were a little bit extra than with missing what God is doing. Dignity is not a fruit of the Spirit. I heard it said recently, I think it's good. Sometimes the Lord will sacrifice your dignity for your freedom. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, there you go, but I have not love. Sounding brass, clanging cymbal. Whoops. It's not lovely. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Boy, that's good. I'm just telling you, power needs to go with love. If you got power to move mountains but you don't have love, you've got nothing. But let me give you another secret. When you pray for someone expecting the power of God, if you operate through love, more power comes. That God responds to love with more power. Did you hear me? He responds to love with more power. Faith works through love. When you have a revelation of God's love, you will operate in faith. And when you're loving other people, faith comes in. Last one is sound mind. Power, love, sound mind. Sound mind, I'm taking a little spin off of what the Greek actually means to say part of being a sound minded is being founded in the truth. Founded in the truth. We don't want power that isn't founded in the truth. We want the Spirit and the truth. Okay? True worshipers, Spirit and in. Amen? So Spirit and in truth. Now, the actual word there in 2 Timothy 1:7 for sound mind means self-controlled. In other words, a lot of people are controlled, even believers, by circumstances and emotions. That's not self-controlled. That's controlled by circumstances and emotions. And Paul's saying, I've not given you the spirit you received is not one of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you're controlled by circumstances and emotions, you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so someone said, that's good. So just let you think about that. The sound mind means that you're self-controlled, which is a fruit of the Matthew 22:29, I'm just reviewing the first sermon a little bit, said, Jesus said, you are mistaken, knowing neither the scriptures nor the power of God. I'm going to keep on this until the Lord tells me to stop because I've got to weave it into our consciousness as a body. Guys, people shouldn't be critiquing other churches generally unless there's like a major doctrinal issue. They stop preaching Christ or whatever. But what I'm telling you is that aside, when Christians critique churches, how often do you hear them critique a church saying something like this? You know, I'm a little concerned about that church over there. They don't have the power of God. Jesus said you could err in two ways, knowing neither the scriptures nor the power of God. We only ever hear err one way. Their interpretation of the scriptures isn't right over there. How often do you hear that they're lacking power? I'm saying Jesus himself said you could err one of two ways. So let's not err in either. Let's not err in either. But the power is necessary. It's totally necessary. This is why Jesus said, if I don't do the works of the Father, I think this is John 10:17, don't believe me. And if you don't believe me, at least believe the works that he said. I talked with you about John 6:63 again. The flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. The words I speak to you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. Man, you guys are amazing back there. What I'm saying is that you cannot actually separate the Spirit from the Word. Are you guys with me? You can't separate the Spirit from the Word. Well, I should say it differently. From God's perspective, they're inseparable. We manage to separate them out. And God's saying, stop dissecting me. This is why I said, I love the Vineyard's commentary. They said, if it's all the word, you dry up. If it's all the spirit, you blow up. And if it's both, you grow up. Now, listen, what I'm saying is, if you actually go with the word, you'll get the spirit. But because of either traditions or just your personal disposition that you're all word and no spirit, if you minister out of that, you'll dry up. You become angry. You become pharisaical. You beat people over the head with truths. On the contrary, if your personality or disposition is towards experiential things, you talk with your hands more. Or this was the tradition you were raised up in, then you'll tend to be all about the things of the Spirit and be super light on the Word. Okay? I'm saying on God says you can't separate them. The words I speak to you, they're Spirit. Well, good, they're inseparable. Except when we dissect it and somehow manage to separate them out. That's all I'm getting at. I'm saying let's keep them inseparable. The Word and the Spirit. The gospel was preached with accompanying signs. Matthew 16:20. God worked with them to provide accompanying signs to the preaching of the Word. The Word had the Spirit. Okay? And you just can't figure it out in the gospel. You look at Jesus, and sometimes he preaches, and then there were signs, and sometimes there were signs, and then he preached. It was just constantly both. And so that's what's happening in our church services. You know, we've got a basic structure. It's like worship, then announcements, then teaching, and then ministry time. Except when we just blow up the structure and do a ministry time at the end of worship, and then the kids do a ministry time at the start of preaching, and then we'll do a ministry time at the end too, and that's okay. Okay, so we'll keep the same basic structure. You should generally know what's coming, but I don't really know even what's coming necessarily. We just go with what the Lord's doing. So, you know, the Lord was speaking to me recently. The Spirit is like wind, right? You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going, but I'll tell you what, you can see when it acts on someone. I was sitting out at a beach. It's a tough life. At a picnic table under the trees, and the wind was blowing strongly, so much so it makes me a little anxious. You know those sort of blustery days? Got my Bible open, and the wind's flapping the pages like this, and I kind of hold it down, put my wallet on and my phone on the other, and you know, so they don't fly, so I can actually read. And I'm watching, and the Lord starts speaking to me about the wind. He said, study the wind. So I'm studying the wind, and I know what he was getting at, because the Spirit's like the wind. And everything is being impacted by the wind. When the Spirit of God moves in a place, everything will be impacted by the Spirit of God moving in the place, except for that which is clamped down. And he started showing me, you do not need to be nervous about the Spirit of God moving in a place, because remember, the wind, we don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but it's not a tornado. Wind is a problem when it goes in multiple directions at once. But that's not the move of the Spirit. He doesn't create a tornado. He moves in a certain way. And so when you're out there on the beach and the wind's moving, even with strong strength in one direction, you actually, everything's being affected by it. But if you look at it, it's actually in beautiful synchrony. We've experienced this many times in worship where people are all singing different things, but it's all going in the same direction. Do you hear me? Okay. So the first message in the series was about the Spirit that we've been given, and then I sort of backtracked after that and said, well, let's go to the previous verse, 2 Timothy 1:6. And it says, therefore I remind you, so how did he get that Spirit? Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And so that's what we did last time. I taught on impartation, the laying on of hands. It's actually one of the five foundational doctrines listed in Hebrews chapter 6. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, including baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's why there's an S, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. The laying on of hands is one of the elementary principles of the Christian faith. Paul said in Romans 1:11, I long to see you that I may impart to you some sort of spiritual gift. What I talked about is there's two schools of thought. There's the faith school of thought, which is 100% true, which is if God's word says it, if it's a promise from God and you believe it and have faith, then just speak it and you'll have it. Okay? 100% true. It's faith. There's the impartation school of thought, which says that person's anointed for healing. That person's received impartation for healing. They've got healing in their hands. You know, something, something, something. Who feels their hands heating up right now? You come up here and pray. It's that kind of school of thought. Okay? It's right too. The weakness of the impartation school is you start to feel like you need a certain sensation or a certain experience in order to access the promises of God's word. You don't. You don't. But the potential weakness of the faith school of thought is that you could fail to receive an impartation which would cause you to stand on someone else's shoulders and start where you couldn't have started. Okay? So I'm saying we want to receive impartation. That's why Paul longed to come to pray impartation that they may be established, Romans 1:11. Okay, God doesn't just speak us, he touches us. Speak to us, he touches us, and he will raise up whomever he can touch. So impartation is available after service. Okay, I'm going to talk to you today about power and authority. We're diving deeper into the part about power and authority. What I'm going to do today is two things. I'm going to share scriptures with you from the New Covenant about power, the New Testament about power. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you hear these scriptures on power, your faith is going to come up as it relates to you having a spirit of power. Do you hear me? You have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of power through the laying on of hands. And I'm saying that when you hear about power, it's going to stir your faith. That's my intention. Then I'm going to give a revelation I've been wanting to share with you guys for a year. I'm going to share a revelation with you from John 16. I've been wanting to share it with you for a year. And it's going to dovetail with the power scriptures and going to boost your faith even further about the power that you can walk in. What's going to happen today, I literally believe it's you're going to have your eyes open, some of you, like you were driving in a Porsche and didn't realize fifth gear was there. You had gears 1 through 4, and you're going to find a whole new gear in your ministry to others, okay? And you're going to say, wow, this really unlocks some things. This really unlocks some things, okay? And it is going to be an equipping sort of message. All right, I'm going to roll through these power scriptures with just very slight commentary. Don't feel like it's dull to just read the scriptures. I know I typically want to give you commentary because you can read the word on your own. But just hearing all of these in one place, I think will really stir your faith. These set of scriptures, when I put them together, it just took me an hour to put them together about a month and a half ago, changed my life. I've operated in God's power, but once I put all the power scriptures together and started meditating on them, and I made a 5-minute audio recording of these me speaking these scriptures, and then I listened to it over and over and over and over in the car, and started getting revelation on it, it was changing my life and changing my ministry. Let me share these scriptures. Matthew 6:13, I've shared a few with you already. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, by the way, before we go through this, in the New King James, there's two words that are being translated power. Maybe there's more, but there's two main ones. The first is dunamis. Many of you know that one. Dunamis power. The Greek dunamis means like a force. Power. It's a force. Okay? Here's the second word that's coming up as power in many of these scriptures. And sometimes in the scriptures, this next word is translated either authority or it's translated power. And that word is exousia. And if you listen to the prophetic video last week, my friend Kimberly has a ministry, Exousia Ministries. Okay, so exousia, that refers to the New Testament saints' authority. the authority or conferred power, a delegated empowerment. In other words, the dunamis power is what you could see. It's the fruit. The exousia power or the exousia authority is the root. God works through authority. Exousia, authority slash power, it's translated either way. You'll hear me sometimes switch between those two. And then dunamis power, which is the force that you can see. If someone got slain in the spirit, you could say that was dunamis power I just witnessed. But the mindset of the believer that was coming up to pray for them was exousia. Delegated authority, delegated power and empowerment. Let me share some of these scriptures with you. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Whose is the power? God's. Before we go to pray for someone, while we're praying for them and we're seeing it manifest, and afterwards, it's God's. I'm telling you, if you so much as have a thought, after you pray for someone and you see the power on their body, and you start to say, wow, man, I'm pretty good. Stop that devil thought right there. Don't feel condemned. Just stop it. Literally, you just stop it. That is from the pit of hell. I'm not going there at all. I can't do this or that. You know, just remind yourself of how incapable you are on your own. Matthew 9, 5 through 6. You want to write these scriptures down, at least the addresses, and you can make a study of it. For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk, Jesus said, but that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Do you realize what Jesus said? He asked them a question. Is it easier for me to tell you that I can forgive sins, or is it easier for me to show you by healing this person? And then he answered his own question with his action. He told him, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. I don't know if you got it. I'm telling you, you can preach the gospel with power. Matthew 9:8. Now when the multitudes saw it, they marveled. Are you having fun yet? They marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. The power of God on a man's life brings glory to God. Yes. Matthew 10:1. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You have power and authority over all unclean spirits as a believer and over all manner of sickness. That means all kinds. And all manner of disease. I mean, just wait until you can get a crazy sickness in front of you. And you think, oh yeah, this is one of those all manner ones. I already shared this one, Matthew 22:29. You are mistaken, knowing neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Matthew 28:18-20. This is the Great Commission. One of the two places the Great Commission is recorded. Jesus said, all authority or power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And what? Go therefore. Now watch this. He says, go therefore. And then at the end he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Lo means look. Watch. He's saying, and watch. He's saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Do the Great Commission. And he says, and just watch. You're going to see me show up every single place where you bring the work of the Great Commission. And lo, watch, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Every time you step into the work of the Great Commission, you're going to see God show up. Then he appointed 12, Mark 3:14-15. Then he appointed 12 that they might be four parts with him. He might send them out to preach. You always preach out of his presence. This is a total key. I'm going to say it again. If I want to minister strongly, I need to be touched by God. You minister out of his presence. Guys, you can literally, it's just something I've learned, you can literally do it if you feel like you need to go minister to your brother or sister, you know, in the other room during Thanksgiving. You see him sitting there and you feel a pull on your heart and you're like, I don't have it in me right now. Real simple. Ask God to minister to you. God, give me whatever you want to give me right now. All of a sudden, his love will flow over you, or his peace will flow over you, or his joy will flow over you. And you're like, dun da da, let's go minister. He'll never minister through you more than he ministers to you. You might try to minister through you more than he's ministered to you, but it's out of order. He wants to minister to you more than he ministers through you. God is more concerned with what concerns you than you are concerned with it. That's right. He's that good. He loves you that much. I'm serious. You know, the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And I think a lot of times I've read that verse, and that means if you're thinking of something distracting in prayer, give it to me and shut up about it already. But sometimes I will kind of do that just because it's like, this is a distraction. But I'm telling you, God actually cares more about the thing that's bugging you than you care about it. He's not trying to get you to shut up. He's just trying to get you to know that he's your shepherd. And you shall not want in that situation. He's going to make it right for you. He's going to make it right for you. When you cast it on him, it's so that you don't have to carry it, but it's not so that he doesn't have to hear about it anymore. Mark 6:7. And he called 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Unclean spirits can be known by their lies. Okay, this is a different one. Luke 4:5-6. The devil, taking Jesus up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, all this authority or power I will give you. That's not the type you want. Isn't that good? You want power from God, not from the world. Luke 4:13-14. After the devil had ended every temptation, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. Do not get discouraged if you're having to push through something in your life, because your breakthrough will become someone else's breakthrough if you'll persist. You will comfort others with the comfort that's been shown to you. Jesus resisted the devil, came out of the temptation, and he came out in the power of the Spirit. Luke 4:31-37, there's two parts here. They were astonished at Jesus' teaching, for his word was with authority or power. He wasn't like the scribes. They knew the word but didn't have power behind it. Here's the key. If you get, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all things that Jesus has spoken to you. Everything that you get as a revelation behind the veil comes with you in a supernatural way, and God and the Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance as you're speaking to people. But everything that we get just as a thought of religion, just an analysis of the text, doesn't have that power on it. Guys, this is why when Brad ministered here, there was such power on the revelations he was sharing with you, because it wasn't just thoughts he had had while reading the Word of God. They were revelations he got from behind the veil. And when you get a revelation from behind the veil, it keeps the power on it. And you guys know when you get one. You're like, oh, man. I mean, it just comes on you as you're reading the Word. And when you get one of those, the power that was on it when you first experienced it remains on it. And then when you share that, the same power is on it. Okay, there's no shortcut to that. You've got to get the revelation in your heart. It's when it becomes in your heart and it becomes pregnant. A lot of the thing that happens with the name it and claim it sort of thing, that's the problem, is that you can't name and claim a promise that hasn't become a revelation to you. You'll think that faith doesn't work because you actually haven't gotten it deep in your heart. But when it becomes a revelation to you, it will break out. I'm not saying don't speak it until you believe it. That's a good thing to do. Make declarations until you believe it. But I'm saying one of the things that happens is that if you don't have it as a revelation, it won't come out with power. Okay. So they were amazed at Jesus, for his word was with authority, with power. And then later on, they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Guys, what about that sort of preaching? Preaching that casts devils out. Isn't that awesome? Jesus' presence cast devils out. He showed up in a region, the devils started moving out. You know what I'm saying? Imagine that you were at your office place. This would be interesting. You just start speaking the word of God to a situation, and the person starts getting set free. That's the sort of preaching that's coming from the throne room. Those sorts of words have power on them. Luke 5:17, it happened in a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Not what it says in the Greek. The power of the Lord was to heal them. People have made a doctrine out of that. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord is present to heal, that's a song. It's present to heal. He's present to heal. The power of the Lord is present to heal. Okay. Sometimes there's sovereign moves, but you get the idea. He's available. Then he called, "Lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age." Luke 9:1, he called 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority, both dunamis and exousia, over all demons. How many demons do you have power and authority over? A-double-L. And to cure diseases. Luke 10:19, as if that one wasn't enough. "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." I love that one. You know, if you're facing something that seems real big or something, I'm thinking, look at all that power. That's all the power that I have power over. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I love that. You're untouchable. Okay? "Behold, Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Good? That's in your Bible. You've been given a spirit of? Amen. Okay. Let's see here. Let me keep going. Acts 1:8. It continues. "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you." 1 Corinthians 2:5. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and power." Hold on one second. I keep hearing stop. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. What time is it? Is that one? That's not right. Okay. I want to get to this revelation from John 16. It's just going to be too much to get there today. Let's see here. No, I think I'm going to go for it. All right, here we go. "The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." I'm just telling you, after his ascension into heaven, it's the exact same message. "The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It didn't come to you with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and in power." Paul always demonstrated the kingdom, just like Jesus demonstrated the kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power." This will work out just fine. God's going to give me a supernatural way to go quicker. And I might just pick up the pieces a little bit next time. Okay, now, turn with me to Acts 3. Acts 3, verses 1 through 16. I'm just going to tell you the story to remind you. Y'all know the story. here we go, man. This is going to be a new gear. Beggar, lame man, right? At the temple asking for alms. Peter and John gave their attention to him. He was expecting to get alms. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." Okay? Remember that. That's the title of this sermon. What I have, I give to you. We're going to come back to it. Now, let's get this revelation from John 16. Turn with me to John 16, verses 23 to 27. This has been a confusing section of Scripture for me for a number of years. And I love it that when you think Scripture is confusing, it's not. You are. Isn't that good? Just don't form a doctrine out of confusion. If it's confusing, just hang in there. Keep reading the Word. Some things will piece together. Okay. All right. This has been confusing to me for years. Let me read it to you as it says it in New King James. And this is Jesus speaking to his followers. "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Now, do you guys see the problem here and why I've been confused on this for a long time? "In that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask in my name, he will give you." Huh? I thought I was going to ask nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? It gets tougher. "And until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full." Wait, I thought I was going to ask anything. Then it says, "These things I've spoken to you in figurative language." No kidding. "But the time is coming when I no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father." Jesus hides revelations in figurative language. It's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Proverbs 25:2. "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, and because you've loved me, and because you have loved me and have believed that I come forth from God." Here's what happened to me. I'm reading this, like around this time last year. And I'm like, man, this is confusing. One of the things I like to do when it's confusing is I get out the concordance to just look at the words. Sometimes some of the words aren't there that have been inserted into the Bible. That's one of the reasons I like New King James. It'll italicize words that they inserted for the hope of readability. Sometimes the words they inserted are just total wrong presumptions. Okay? Like that one I just read to you, "The Spirit of the Lord was present to heal them." Present was an inserted word. Well, that's an interesting concept. It's a whole theological concept they introduced with one word inserted. So anyway, I'm reading this and I go to the concordance and I get in a terrible rabbit hole. I'm looking at the concordance on my phone. I have an app. And it's like, okay, that means that, okay? Okay, that means that, okay? Okay, that means that. Okay, and I'm like going in this rabbit hole. 10 minutes in, I asked the Lord, I said, "God, am I wasting my time here?" Literally, I just said, "God, am I wasting my time here?" He said, "Keep going." So I said, okay. Then, I find this entry. I gave you a screenshot of it. I find this entry in the concordance that this particular entry happens to give a synopsis comparison of three or four related words that are translated "ask." It turns out in this section of Scripture, what I discovered is that there's two different Greek words being used for the word "ask." One of the Greek words is 2065 in Strong's Concordance. That word means a request as a favor. Sounds like "ask," doesn't it? It's reasonable they translated it as "ask," but they're saying there's more nuance in the Greek here. One of them means to request as a favor. Then there's another Greek word, number 154, which is strictly a demand for something due. Those are the two Greek words that are translated "ask" in this section. One says to request as a favor. The other says to demand as something due. Can I read it to you with the correct translation? They're woven through this. Here we go. Watch yourself. This is good. I was not wasting my time in that rabbit trail. And in that day, these are the words of your Lord. And in that day, you will request as a favor nothing of me. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you demand the Father as something due to you in my name, he will give you. In that day, you will ask or request as a favor nothing of me. But most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you demand the Father as something due to you in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've demanded nothing as something due to you in my name, but demand and you will receive, that your joy may be full. At this point, I was getting so rocked by this revelation. I was praying. I said, God, please let this line of difference between these two words continue through the rest of these verses. This is so good. And then I was like, no, God, whatever your word is, that's what I'll go with, you know. Skip verse 25. And then it says in verse 26, it continued through perfectly. Verse 26, in that day, you will demand as something due to you in my name. And I do not say to you, listen, I do not say to you that I will pray the Father for you. The word pray there, guess what it is? It's actually ask. Ask as a favor. In that day, you will demand in my name as something due to you. And I do not say to you, Jesus said, I do not say to you that I'll ask the Father as a favor for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. That's a different sort of asking. Greek 154, strictly a demand as something due to you, not a request as a favor. Can I share some other scriptures now that Greek 154 are going to open up for you? Matthew 7:7 and 8. Ask, demand as something due to you, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. Is this exciting to you guys? James 4, 2 and 3. I'm going to give you four guardrails to this, though. It's what I just read is 100% true. But what are the guardrails? Now, verse 1. Or here's the first guardrail, James 4, 2 and 3. You do not have because you do not demand as something due to you. These are familiar scriptures. They're opening up probably. This is Greek 154. It doesn't mean request as a favor. They could use the one that meant request as a favor. This one means strictly to demand as something due. And why is it due to you? Because you're in Christ. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him. In him, in him, in him. Whew. You demand, watch, here's the guardrail. You demand as something due to you and do not receive because you demand amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You cannot operate in this level of demand on the king. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our under-requesting is not pleasing God. The older son in Luke 15 was under-requesting. The older son in Luke 15 was under-demanding. Someone said in prayer this morning, they were reading the sermon for me effectively, is that we ought to err on the side of presumption. I'm not saying I don't want us to be on presumption. I'm just saying, how often do we err on the side of presumption versus the side of doubt? And what I'm saying is, this is one of the things, the guardrails to operating in this level of demand on the King of Kings, which actually blesses him, because apart from faith, it's impossible to please him. He wants to give to you. He wants to give to me. But he's saying, don't ask to spend on your own pleasures. Don't ask out of selfishness. Okay? James 4. Here's another one. 1 John 5:14-15. Now, this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we demand as something due to us anything according to his will, he hears us. You guys know that verse, right? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we demand as something due to us, that mindset, whatever we ask in that way, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked, demanded of him. Right? What's the caveat that you saw in that verse? According to his will. Isn't that good? This is helpful. Here's the other one. John 15:7-8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask, Greek 154, ask, demand what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and this is what it'll look like to be one of my disciples. So disciples know the truth, and the truth will set them free because they abide in his word. And when you abide in his word, you'll also ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. But again, what's the caveat here? You have to abide in his word, or else your desires won't be his desires. Do you see it? Here's one more. 1 John 3:22 says this: whatever we ask, we receive from him. Again, that same Greek 154. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. The whole context, the few verses before that, is about loving your brother. You have to, if you're not operating this level of demand on the kingdom, this level of faith, you have to do it in love. So I'm giving you 4 guardrails. Okay? Don't ask amiss to spend it on your pleasures. You have to ask according to his word. You have to ask out of a place of abiding in his word, and it has to be for love. Fair enough? Good? It's like 2 Peter 1. Pertains to life and godliness. Okay? That's what he's given to you and to me. Good, good? Now, how can this be? It's by sonship. Remember in Matthew 7? Where it's saying, ask, Greek 154, ask, demand as something due to you and you'll receive. Why? Because you're a son. Goes on to say, which of you would give to your son a stone or a serpent? How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who demand as something due to them? In other words, to those who know they're a son or daughter of God and ask accordingly. It's sonship. Son, all that I have is yours. You're always with me. Luke 15. The religious spirit fears presumption more than that it will stand accountable for its doubt. John 16, same thing. The Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he glorify Jesus, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Watch. All things, Jesus said, that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, the Holy Spirit will take of mine and declare it to you. When you pray in Jesus' name, this is what you're doing. You're saying, out of my position in Christ, I'm making a demand on God. You're not just saying, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Because the spirit realm responds to your actual authority, not just your words. And if you know who you are in Christ, which we know who we are in Christ, I'm just giving you another facet of a revelation. You've already got this revelation. You know, you operate by faith. You've already got it. He already paid for it all. That's all the same sort of revelation. It's just a different facet of the diamond. Okay? And this is about authority. Because a lot of what we call faith, a lot of what people call faith, is very different than what the Bible talks about as authority and power. In Acts chapter 3, what happened in Acts chapter 3? He said, in the name of what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Right? The people were confused. by verse 12, Peter's having to explain himself. Guys, don't think that it's by my authority or it's by my power that this man walks today. Why did he have to explain himself? And later on in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Acts, Peter even goes on to say, it's by faith. I'm operating by faith. Don't think it was my power. I'm operating by faith. But they didn't know that. Why do you have to explain it? Peter walks up, looks him in the eye. The guy says, can I have some money? Peter says, what I have, I give to you. Arise and walk. He didn't pray for him. Jesus sent out the disciples to heal the sick, not to pray for the sick. Power and authority is different than what we often think of as faith. And Acts 3 is showing us that. One is a request to the Son. One is a request to the Son. The other is realizing you're a son. Faith, power, and authority. They're meant to be together. I'm saying we often don't think of them correctly. One is faith in God. I'm sending a prayer up to God. The other is truly the faith of God working through you. You have a plate, you have to place your faith in God, of course, but then you have the faith of God that can operate through you so that you operate with the faith of a son. This is a new mindset for some of you. It's going to release an entire new gear in your ministry. An entire new gear in your ministry. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that the power that's spoken of in that verse, the spirit of power that you have, is within you. It's within you. It's within you. God, Lord help me. I've got this thing to give you and you got to catch it in the spirit. God does not want you to just speak the truth. He wants you to release a reality. So what's your mindset? What's your mindset? When you come into a room, does the truth of the kingdom come into the room? Or does the manifestation of the kingdom come into the room? What's your mindset? When you walk into a room, does the truth come with you into the room? Or does the manifestation come with you into the room? When you walk into the room, does a set of truths show up? Or does an expression of the kingdom show up? Now, you can't have the manifestation without the truths. You can't. If you don't know the truths, how would you have the manifestation? I'm not trying to make a division. But what I'm saying is that Jesus said, if I don't do the works, don't believe me. Paul said, he demonstrated the power with the words. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. You have the gift of God within you. Within you. That means when you walk into a space, you're not just walking in with truth, although you have truth, but you're walking in with the kingdom. You're walking in with the kingdom. The kingdom is coming with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Not, lo, look, my truths are with you always. It's saying, no, I'm with you. I'm telling you, Jesus is saying, he's with you. He's with you. He's so satisfied with you. He's with you. He's walking with you. It's the great gift of God, the Holy Spirit within you. It's his power upon you. Acts chapter 3. Peter had a different mindset than many of us have. Listen to what he said to the beggar, the lame beggar. He said, what I have, I give it to you. He didn't teach him. I'm hoping you're starting to catch this. I'm trying to say it 100 ways. He didn't teach him. He didn't pray for him. He commanded him to rise and walk. Because of what Peter was carrying. Remember, Jesus walked up to raise Lazarus from the dead? Father, thank you that you heard me. Then what did Jesus say? He said, by the way, I just said that, not for me, it's for you. Jesus had the faith of a son. He had the faith of a son. The Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. In that day, you will ask nothing. You will ask nothing. He said, I'm not going to beg the Father for you. I'm not going to beg the Father for you. When you ask, I don't have to beg, because you've got a direct connect through the Father, because you've believed that I came forth from God and you love me. Therefore, the Father himself loves you and the Father himself is listening. You can operate in the faith of a son instead of trying to operate in speaking to the son only. I'm still not getting it across. Let me keep trying. These things the Lord, okay, after these things, the Lord appeared, appointed 70 others also. I think this is Luke 10. Sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he's about to go. Then he said to him, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to expel the laborers out into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Verse 9, heal the sick there and say to them what? The kingdom of God has come near you. You have an assignment. When you come into a place, the kingdom of God comes into the place. I'm saying it's a different mindset, guys. It's a different mindset. When you come into a place, you don't just talk about the kingdom of God. You are the kingdom of God coming into that place. The Holy Spirit's upon you. You don't just have truths in you. Now, you can't have the Holy Spirit upon you without having the truths in you. I'm not trying to draw a division. I'm trying to make a distinction, though. What I'm saying is, and I said you can't divide the Spirit in the Word, but I'm saying the Holy Spirit's on you. The question is, do you think that you, what I have, I give to you? Do you think you have something to give? And I'm not just talking about truths. I'm not just talking about, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. I'm saying, do you have the Spirit of the living God living in you and residing upon you such that when you see someone like that, or I see someone like that, we say, what I have, what I'm aware of carrying, I give to you now, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. In other words, what I'm saying to you is you received impartation last time, and now I release you as ones who impart the kingdom of God into every area of society. I'm commissioning you as ones that don't just have truths, but you are cognizant of who's with you, who's on you, and who you can impart to others. Okay. I think that's good. Okay, I hope I got it across. You just have to grapple with it. God will give it to you. Now, listen, one time Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, think on these things, they'll make sense to you. Okay, so you might have to grapple with it. It's really, everything I'm just saying there at the end, it's just one revelation, but it's a total change in mindset. You know, a big part of it, truthfully, is shame. I'm telling you, now the Lord delivered me from shame. And that's connected to me seeing just a huge increase in power when I'm praying. If you're ashamed of yourself, you won't give of yourself. You'll just share truths that are outside of yourself. But if you have no shame, you won't hide yourself. You'll allow yourself to be a lamp on a stand that's able to be seen. And so what I'm telling you is, God is not ashamed of you. He's totally satisfied with you. You don't have to hide your face from God. And he doesn't want you to hide your face from anybody else. He wants the power that's within you through the laying on of hands to come out to the world. The lamp goes on the stand, not underneath the stand. The lamp back then was not an incandescent bulb. It was before Edison. It was fire. He wants the fire to be out and open for people to see. What I'm saying is that if you've got shame, what you'll do is you won't pray like Peter prayed. You won't pray like Jesus prayed. You'll only pray intellectually, and you can pray in faith, but I'm saying you won't pray in authority. You won't pray in power. Jesus ministered out of power because of his authority. He ministered out of power because of his authority. He didn't have any shame. And then he sent out the disciples the same way under that sort of authority. Guys, do you know Judas Iscariot healed the sick? Authority matters. If you operate under God's authority, you will operate in power. He healed the sick, guys. It didn't say, and then the 12 went out except for Judas, and Judas never did any of the signs. Remember, he said, some of you are going to do signs, but he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. He was the son of perdition. That would be one that has to depart from him. He said it would be better that he wasn't born. I'm saying Judas did signs and wonders because he was under God's authority. When you guys are praying for people, you can actually impart what you're carrying to them. But I'm afraid that you'll be too bashful to do that if you don't realize your position in Christ and if there's shame that gets in there. So, okay, so here's the activation today. Some of you are going to receive impartation. If you weren't here last time, I'll pray for you, okay? Others of you are going to, other people are going to pray for you. If you feel like you need set free from shame, or if you feel like you this message like really challenges you, this idea of imparting what you're carrying to someone else, then I want you to get prayer today too, if you're willing. What I'm saying, though, is you don't just carry truths, you carry a kingdom. You carry the King of Kings, and he's wanting you to impart that into every place that you go. You need the truths to know that you're carrying him, but you're actually carrying the King of Kings. Okay. Well, that's good. I feel like I got some of it conveyed. You guys did good. All right, Father, I pray a sealing over this word, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd bring more revelation. And I thank you, Father, for what you're about to do right now. Yep. Hey, guys, I'm having fun journeying with you. Isn't this fun? We're just having a blast. It's really good. It's such a beautiful church, such a beautiful foundation. And it's really fun what we're going to do. If you want impartation, come on up. I'll pray for you. Someone else can catch. Also, though, now everybody else has received impartation. You guys can pray for people, and you can be like 7-year-old kids that see people slain in the spirit and healed when they lay hands on them. Okay? You can do it too. All right. God bless you guys.